that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today we take you to 1078 Gallery in Chico to talk with artist Kyle Campbell about his current exhibition, Fortifying the American Dream. The exhibit displays his cast iron sculptures patterned after iconic representations of the American Dream, things like picket fences. Campbell created these sculptures during a three-month artist residency at the Kohler Manufacturing Plant in Kohler, Wisconsin. Today we'll also take you to Riverfront Playhouse in Reading to hear from the director and actors from the theater's current production, The Games Afoot, Homes for the Holidays, a comedy mystery involving Sherlock Holmes. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
Tomorrow evening in Reading, folk musician John McCutcheon plays at the Pilgrim Congregational Church. Starting at 8 o'clock, experience this folk singer, storyteller, and master of many musical instruments. Sunday afternoon at Reading's Cascade Theater, take a trip back in time with a complete 1960s music festival. The back pages play music from the Beatles, the Beach Boys, the Turtles, and many others. This nostalgic journey through the tunes of the 60s starts at 4 o'clock. The Orland Arts Center presents Ellen, Then and Now. This exhibit showcases artist Ellen Heiss, from her landscapes in oil paint to her current ink pen drawings touched with watercolor. Gallery hours, 1 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. Leftover Salmon swims into Sierra Nevada's Big Room Monday night for an evening of funky bluegrass. Don't miss this Chico favorite starting at 7:30. Chico Art Center has a member showcase. This exhibit illuminates the diverse artistic abilities of its current membership. The center's open every day, noon to 4. In Yuba City, the Community Memorial Museum of Sutter County features the exhibit Gold Fever, Untold Stories of the California Gold Rush. Through photographs, see California before the discovery of gold, and then the rush to find this precious metal once it was discovered. The museum's open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5, Saturday and Sunday, noon to 4. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. One of the greatest French satirists, Voltaire, realized that you must have the devil in you to succeed in any of the arts.
Join our visual art expert, Dolores, at one of Chico's leading art galleries.
This is Dolores Mitchell, and I'm at the 1078 Gallery looking at a fantastic show. It's very difficult to believe all the combination of things I'm looking at. We'll go into that in a moment. But first, I have here Michael Bishop, a professor of the artist who is showing here. The artist is Kyle Campbell. Michael, tell me about your relationship with Kyle.
Kyle's been in my classes, three sculpture classes. Also, Kyle has been my studio assistant for about 5 years. The studio assistant is just sort of a special student. He's still my studio assistant. Also a good friend.
This seems to be a very important part of a young sculptor's background, since it is such a labor-intensive and material and technique-intensive profession.
That's true. I think in my career of teaching for 35 years, one of the things that I've always been able to hold on to and develop is this sort of apprenticeship kind of aspect of the courses that I've taught.
What about this unusual internship with the Kohler Company, producers of hardware and plumbing?
Well, I've been fortunate to have two artisan industry residency programs at Kohler. And those are 3-month residencies, and it's an international competition. Kyle hasn't finished his graduate work, so he isn't eligible for a residency, but I was able to help him get a internship at Kohler for 3 months. It was very good timing for him, and also he's hardworking and aggressive. He was able to help residents and also to do his own work, and he ended up doing more work in 3 months than any of the residents.
Well, I can see that from this fantastic show. Thank you very much. We're going to talk now to Kyle. Kyle, how about your title, Fortifying the American Dream?
Well, this body artwork is a series of cast iron using symbolic objects that I think are somewhat associated or directly associated with everybody's idea, cliche ideas of what the American Dream means. I have white picket fences and work boots, paintbrushes and baseball bats.
Right in back of you, I'm looking at 6 gates. They're white picket. I think that's just such a part of the American dream, to fence a little bit of property where you have a house of your own.
I agree. And, you know, with being able to make these out of iron, it would be the last thing standing, wouldn't it? That was kind of the piece of artwork that really brought along the idea of the American dream and fortifying it. Iron is a fortifying material. To fortify is to make stronger, and combining that with the cliche of a white picket fence surrounding your house, your little cutout of whatever you're able to get in the world, rang true to my feelings about what it is to be an American, what the American dream means to me, and possibly what it means to others.
There are also some very personal objects related to home and the American dream. I'm looking at a group of paintbrushes.
Well, those are my father's paintbrushes. He's a painting contractor, and I've been able to work with him quite a bit this past summer, and I really learned a lot about him. It was as if I knew him differently because of work. To me, part of the American dream is making something for yourself professionally, to start a business and build that with your bare hands.
And you were in direct contact with a work crew who were making things for everyday use, for bathrooms, for kitchens, the Kohler Company. How did that go for you, this 3-month internship?
The workers have to do their factory job day in, day out. It's tough work, and to be able to have them share with me their manufacturing process, but for me to also give them anything I was able to, you kind of start building good relationships. I started to realize that I wasn't so different from a factory worker in Wisconsin. We both have similar jobs. I think their job is harder.
Well, what seems to me very unusual about this internship is that the Kohler Company really does not pin you down to do anything specific. They like having artists around, you were telling me. Even afterwards, they don't particularly try to use your ideas. They simply like having you in the environment.
They absolutely love having us in the environment. Really strong relationships occur with the workers, and them having such a monotonous job and this being such a different experience for me gives a back and forth between worker and artist. So much so that they allow a group of artists to come into their factory, and they really give you a factory to produce artwork in.
Take us through the process of casting one of these cast iron objects. How did you interact with the workers there?
In this particular factory, they divide each step of the manufacturing process into different steps, and that would kind of divide which workers I'm working with. So to make one of my gates, I started with a pattern made out of wood, a wooden gate that I could have installed on my fence. I take that gate and cover it in a two-part sand mold in the same area they'd be making bathtubs, same type of molding process. After that, I'd remove the gate from the sand, leaving a cavity that I'd drive out to where they were pouring sink parts and have it filled up with iron.
Were you sometimes surprised by the results?
There's a few leaks, and it's always exciting to see iron start pouring out onto the floor. For the most part, I felt comfortable enough to maintain control and didn't have really too many mishaps.
There are some extremely beautiful polished finishes on some of your pieces.
And I have to give credit to the worker who polished it.
Kyle, you have a group of baseball bats over there, and of course that's so much part of the American dream. They look proportionally very correct, but then I'm looking at what you have lined up against the wall. They're very short bats, and you were telling me that the workers interpreted them in a way that's quite different from your original intention.
When I brought this pattern out to mold and sand, a worker came up to me and said, "You're making strike bats?"
What is a strike bat?
Kohler is a very union-heavy shop. They're part of the United Automobile Workers. In the 30s, they had the longest strike in American history. The workers, as well as deputized police officers, would carry these bats.
How did they feel about their interpretation? Were they upset?
They weren't upset. They kind of were taken aback to maybe see somebody interested in their story. I felt that quite a bit. I ended up getting a couple union t-shirts, and I started wearing their union's t-shirts in support of the workers, and I think they really respected that.
Do you think that this internship is going to change the way you produce sculpture in the future, or even your subjects?
Yeah, the experience of traveling across the country and being able to stay in a place like that, I haven't experienced anything like it. It's very hard to describe what it's like being there, what it's like working there. I don't think I could ever be as productive as I was at Kohler.
Well, this will be a fascinating show for people who are interested in how the arts and the production line can work together. Arts and industry, that is what the program's called. Well, thank you very much. Kyle Campbell, whose exhibition, Fortifying the American Dream, will be at the 1078 Gallery, that's at 8th Street and Broadway, through the 21st. There'll be a closing reception on the 21st from 5 to 7 p.m., and Kyle will be talking about his work at 6 p.m. Thank you.
Now let's join our Reading correspondent, Kelly Frost, who's at Riverfront Playhouse, talking with the director and cast of the theater's current production, a comedy mystery, The Games Afoot, or Homes for the Holidays. The director, Jennifer Levins, describes what the play is about.
William Gillette, who was a real person, wrote Sherlock Holmes with Sir Conan Doyle and starred in it on Broadway for 20 years. This takes place in 1936. Gillette was shot on stage after wishing everybody a Merry Christmas, and the play ensues from there. We have his young ingenue and her husband, new husband. We have his old standby character actors. We have Daria Chase, who's a critic for Pete's sake. And we have William Gillette himself and his mother. And they all are visiting Gillette Castle for the weekend of Christmas. This takes place on Christmas Eve.
How did you pick the people to play the parts and go through that?
It was not easy. The guy who's playing Sherlock Holmes and William Gillette has played in other plays for me, but he was so perfect when he did his reading, as was Madge, the character actress, the older actress. I had to call in other people for certain jobs because they didn't show up for auditions. There are so many things going on in Reading right now that our actor base is limited.
The Riverfront Playhouse is one of the biggest production companies in Reading. Tell me a little bit about why you like this play.
This is my third Ken Ludwig play. I love Ken Ludwig. He uses Shakespeare a lot, which is great. I mean, The Games Afoot comes from Henry V. I also like Sherlock Holmes and most mysteries. Somebody brought it to us during a pitch meeting and said, and you're going to direct this. And I said, oh, well, don't I get to read it first? And they, yeah, you can read it, but you're going to want to direct it. And she was right. I did.
How long have you been directing?
I think I did my first directorial appearance when I decided that it was more fun to direct than memorize lines. I think it was 2003. I was an assistant director, and then I got my first play in 2005. I've been doing a play a year, as I have been able to ever since.
Do you know a little bit about the history of the Riverfront Playhouse? I know it's been in this location for a long time.
I was in the first play.
Oh, okay. Then you know. Yeah.
I know the history, yeah. It was started, oh gosh, all those years ago. 1981 was our first show, and it was Seesaw, a musical. I got to be in it, and it was really cool, and we only had half a theater then, and folding chairs for seats, and the bathroom was on stage for everybody, and our dressing room was in the parking lot. Thank goodness it was summer.
I've been watching you do this one scene. It's really fascinating watching how you're interacting with your actors. Do you have a vision in your head of what the play is going to look like? How do you go through all that?
Basically, I have a general vision, and right now we don't really have a set, but when the set is done, or at least we have all our entrances and exits, people are going to be more naturally in the right place, but we have to be very careful when you've got a semi-circular stage, I guess, to make sure everybody can be seen from both sides of the audience. We have this wall in between us. I don't know how it's going to be to direct on a straight stage when we get to our new venue. That's going to be amazing.
It's so intimate in here. And how do you think that'll be different than it will be when you get onto a newer stage?
Well, number one, everything is going to be a straight stage at the new venue, which means that we don't have to be quite so careful about turning our backs on audiences and stuff like that. It's going to be more of a everyday kind of theater. And there are 155 seats at the new theater as opposed to 92 here. That general intimacy, you know, that small black box feeling is going to be kind of gone there.
Tell me your name and the character that you play.
I'm Greg Pate, and I play William Gillette.
And maybe tell me a little bit about the character. All I know so far is that you're trying to cover up a murder.
William Gillette was an actual person, and he was an actor. In the play, he's also an actor, and he gets entangled in a murder mystery. So far, my preparation has mostly been trying to memorize my lines. I have lots and lots and lots of lines. So I'm trying to get those in my head firmly.
I didn't really see what led up to this scene that you were doing tonight, but I take it there was a seance or something in the house and then some sort of argument. Can you tell me about what led up to what you were rehearsing?
There was a seance. It was a faked seance because Gillette and Madge were conspiring to try to get someone to confess to an earlier murder. Madge stands up during the seance and says, "Confess, confess or die," hoping to scare it out of someone, the real murderer.
But you don't want to give away to the police what had happened.
There is the dead body that he feels like he's responsible for in his house. Immediately when he decides to hide the body, he's kind of complicit in the whole thing.
And how do you like this venue? I like this where it's small like this, with a small audience.
Yeah, small is good. The audience members are only 6 feet or so from the edge of the stage. I like the fact that the theater only holds about 99 people. It gives it a real closeness.
It sounds like you know something about William Gillette. Did you do any research into him to try to prepare for the part?
No. Our script actually has a couple pages of information about him, so I just read those pages.
Can you tell me your name and then the character that you play?
Linda Reagan, and I play Martha Gillette. I am William Gillette's mother.
Tell me a little bit about your character.
My character is really very interesting because she has, well, I can't really say she has dementia, but I kind of think she does because she goes in and out of knowing what's going on and not knowing what's going on and knowing what she's doing and not knowing what she's doing. That's the great thing about this play, is that it has so many twists and turns, and even at the end, you're not really sure about some things, and it makes it really fun.
Can you tell me your name and then tell me the character that you play?
My name is Sharon Owen, and my character's name is Daria Chase. Daria is the most famous theater critic in the country in 1936, and she is snarky, she is mean, and no one likes her.
Thus, what happens to her, it sounds like, in the scene that I just watched.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Daria's fate is probably the issue that the play is built around.
Is she really dead or not?
Oh, I can't reveal that. You have to come see the play.
How do you prepare yourself?
Just start reading the script and start building a character. I have done a lot of acting. I've done a lot of directing. I've written 3 plays, and I have a minor in theater arts, so I've had a lot of background in performing. Also, being a fiction writer, I write mystery novels. I think that has helped, too, because when you write, you build characters. It's interesting how similar that is. When you're sitting home at your computer, you're creating a character, and when you're on stage, you're also creating a character.
Tell me your name, and who do you play?
I'm Brian Storm, and I play Felix Geisel. He's kind of the second banana. Gillette is the head of the theater company. Felix is his best friend, Ethel to his Lucy or something like that.
He must be a good friend in order to help him cover up a crime. One of the lines was, you know, we're going to be accessories to this. How do you prepare yourself to play a part like that?
What I do often in a role is kind of create a backstory and figure out the history of the person and what they've done in the past. Then tag into what then motivates them to do the things or say the things or act the way they do in the play.
And it sounds like this character also has some other things going on. Sounds like he has a pretty conflicted marriage.
There's some interesting history there and leads to some interesting moments on stage. It's fun.
Can you tell me a little bit about this particular play? What do you think about the story, the way it's written, the interaction with all the other people on stage?
Yeah, I enjoy the interaction. There's some funny lines, and I like the fact that I get to say a number of them. We can be silly, and we can be serious. It's a good mixture. I don't know if that ever gets totally serious, but kind of serious in a comical way, maybe, if that makes any sense.
I've only seen just the one scene that you did, but is your character hiding anything?
Oh, there may be a couple things revealed, but people just have to come and find out.
Tell me your name and the character that you play.
I'm Cassie McEachin, and I play Inspector Goring. Inspector Goring doesn't quite have everything together. She's a little off, as it were, and she's very excited to have been called to this very famous house and be searching for this dead body that is lurking somewhere. As clues are being found, she's getting very excited about all of these things that she's finding. You know, she's just looking for that piece of whatever will lead her to the end, especially since she's with a famous actor and she always wanted to be an actor. That plays into her joy.
And what is it like to be an actor in the play and then also be an assistant director?
It's a lot of fun. It can be interesting to put on a different hat, as it were. Sometimes it's easier to watch the play and say, okay, I understand where I need you to go and what needs to be happening. And sometimes when you're in it, you can't always see the bigger picture. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it.
Comedy mystery, The Games Afoot, or Homes for the Holidays, is on stage at Riverfront Playhouse in Reading through February 11th. That's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in your community. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.